Genesis chapter 26. And I have just one verse that I'm going to read to you tonight, and it's from a familiar passage. Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 18. Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he, Isaac, called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your spirit that we feel, your presence, Lord, for the glory of salvation, the blessed hope that we have. My, I pray that you'll encourage hearts tonight. Help me, Lord, to preach this simple message that you've laid on my heart. Help us tonight, Lord, to allow you to create a hunger and a desire in our heart, in our generation, to have your blessing and your power. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I know this is not the first time that you have ever heard this story preached about. And matter of fact, it's not the first time I've preached about this story myself. Amen. But still, when I was reading through this passage earlier this year, I began meditating on it. And I've told you, I just keep a little notepad handy and I jot down thoughts or whatever, and sometimes they develop, sometimes they don't. But, then later on, another thought will come and I'll add it to the thing. So all I'm going to share with you tonight are lessons from a well digger. Amen. So it may be a little bit random, right? But probably a lot of you think in random ways anyway. So you shouldn't have much trouble. Amen. Lessons from a well digger. I've been thinking about this and it just kind of came together for me today. Some of the lessons that we learn from this incident. Of course, we know the Bible is so full of truth, you can't ever exhaust it all. And when you read this phrase, that Isaac digged again the wells of water, and it's the same wells that his father had dug, and he named them the same names his father had named them, it literally happened. I mean, he really dug wells right out of the dirt, out into the ground. You know, it was a literal thing, but there are lessons in that apply not only physically, but spiritually. And the first and foremost one is this: every generation must know God for themselves. Amen. Every generation must know God for themselves. You know, I was just thinking about, as I thought about that, Isaac didn't realize when he was younger how much these wells meant. They were just part of life. He didn't realize how important they were, you know. And it's so true. When we're young, you know, when we're the children and the young folks of the generation, we don't understand oftentimes how important the things, even of physical life, are. We don't understand how important, you know, having a house or a car or clothes or a little money to spend or food. You know, I mean, we take it for granted. It's something that mom and dad provide, you know, and when they're supposed to be that way. And we just come up in that, and spiritually the same thing happens oftentimes, that we take spiritual things for granted. And no doubt, Isaac, as a younger man, took these things for granted. Dad had dug those wells out for the family, and they used them and enjoyed them and got all the benefits from them. But time passes by. It doesn't hold up for anybody. And now Abraham has passed on. He's dead. They've buried him. And now Isaac has a family of his own. He's back in the same area where he used to live. And he realizes those wells are very important. They were not just important for his dad's generation. They're important for his. Amen. And he realizes he needs them for himself. And I tell you what, every one of us in our generation, we have to come to that realization that we must have God and know God for ourselves. Amen. You know, it's sad but true that there are some that the only religious or spiritual experience they have, it's only by heredity. It's only by association. They were, you know, in a Christian family, either mom and dad or mom or grandma or grandpa or whatever connection they've got, you know, it's simply by association. They don't really have that experience for themselves. And then when that support is gone, and because those people are not going to be with us forever, and when they're gone and their influence is gone, man, it's sad to see what happens to a lot of people's lives. They have no experience for themselves. It's all based on what somebody else has done, and when that is no longer available, they lose all of their spiritual life completely. And it'll happen to you too if you don't get it for yourself. Amen. Probably the most, you know, the classic example that we have in the Bible was the generations after Joshua. Remember? And the Bible said in Judges 2:10, there was another generation that arose that knew not the Lord. And this thought here, the another generation, there's always, as long as time goes and as long as the Lord tarries, there's always going to be another generation. You know, I don't know if you know, this March the 9th was just a day on the calendar to everybody else, but it was number 50 for me. Maybe it's making me think more about, I don't feel like I'm an old man, but I tell you what, you can't help but when you hit a birthday or anything sometimes in life, and you begin thinking back, and you realize, for goodness sake, I've been alive for half a century. You know what I'm saying? And I realized when I was some of these people's young folks' age, I thought people who were 35 were old. I mean, when I think back, and I think of some of the Sunday school teachers I had and some of the preachers that I knew, you know, and some of them are still alive, and they, you know, I thought, man, when I knew them back then, I thought they were old. So, I mean, I think back to the past, and then I realize yet the future that's ahead. And what happens is life waits for nobody. There's always another generation. And if in any of those generations they do not know the Lord, what a tragedy it is. Amen. Joshua knew God. I mean, he knew God wonderfully as a compatriot of Moses, and the elders that outlived Joshua, man, they knew God. They had experience with God. They crossed the Jordan River, and they knew all the power of God. But that next generation didn't get it for themselves. Another generation that knew not the Lord. Psalm 48, David talks about walking around Jerusalem and making notes, writing down about the bulwarks, the walls, the towers, all the features of Jerusalem, writing it all down, making notes about it. And he says the purpose of that is that we're going to pass this down to the following generation. So there is another generation, and to all of us here, it's a following generation. It's coming up behind us. Amen. Right in this congregation tonight, we have a number of kind of generation patterns. If you take about a 25 or a 30 year in a generation, we've got probably at least four generations represented right here in our church. You know, that they're following, the generations keep following, and we are watching it happen. And every one of those generations is going to have to know God for themselves. In the book of Esther, you know the whole story, but at the end, when they had had victory over their enemies, and they had been delivered from death and destruction, they declared a celebration. And they said the celebration is to be for every generation. Amen. And that's what caught my eye. Amen. This is something that is not just for the generation that is alive today. And it's not just for another generation. And not just for a following generation. But for every generation. Amen. And that's the way God has set up His Word and His blessings. Amen. He wants them to be for every generation. But as much help as is passed down by our fathers, amen, we must have life ourselves and not just try to be a reflection of somebody else's life. Every generation has got to have the truth for themselves. And you know, sometimes young people sit right in church. They're not out running around the world doing everything the world does. They're made to be in church sometimes because of parents or, you know, pressures put on. And sometimes we have them come right through church and they still don't get it for themselves. Amen. And that's why some generations of ours are already gone. Amen. Because they got to get it for themselves. And I want to tell all you young people here tonight, you need to be serious about getting it for yourself. Amen. You're not always going to have mom and dad right there to handle all that. You're not always going to have the preacher right there to handle all that. Matter of fact, if the Lord tarries, the day's coming, you're not going to have a church like this to handle your problem. It's not going to be here anymore. You're going to be alone. I'm going to tell you what, you need to dig those wells out for yourself. Amen. Oh, it was great. It was great when Abraham dug the wells and enjoyed them, him and his family. But the time came that Isaac now had a family of his own, and he had to dig them out again. I'm telling you, you got to get it for yourself. You need to have the experiences, amen, that those who started this church had. Amen. But you need them for yourself. Amen. Secondly, we, all of us, not just the another generation and not just the following ones, but we, all of us, must not live in the past blessings of our own life. We can't, even those of us right here, right now, we cannot live on the blessings in our own past. Not just in the past of our dad and mom or grandma and grandpa, but in our own past. Amen. We need God's blessings right now. Yes, it's great to be able to think back and remember great wells spiritually that we enjoyed in past years and talk about that fresh, cold, clear, abundant water. Wow, those were the days. What about right now? Amen. Yeah, those might have been the days then, but they're gone, and now we're in days right now. What about now? We need that same fresh, cold, clear, abundant water right now. Amen. We need the joy of salvation right now. Amen. We need the peace of God right now. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. We need the gifts of the Spirit operating right now. We need to see healings happening right now. We need rejoicing and shouting and dancing right now. We need the fullness of God's presence and power, and we need it right now. Amen. Isaac would have done no good at all to sit down and say, boy, I'll tell you what, there used to be some kind of well right here. I drink water out of this well right here. Hey, let's have a drink right now. Well, I can't have one right now. It's all clogged up. But boy, I tell you what it used to be like. That don't help anybody. Bragging about those wells we used to have is not enough. We need them flowing right now. Amen. Thirdly, our present blessings will require work and effort. Amen. Our present blessings will require work and effort. And that's why some people sit down by the old well and reminisce, because they are too lazy to dig it out. They'd just rather sit there and talk about what it used to be like and how that water used to flow and how it used to taste and how great it was and how everybody bragged about it. Well, I mean, they can tell a great story, but they're not about to pick up a shovel. Hey, I'll tell you what, now Isaac could have brought his family down there on a little sightseeing tour and said, oh, come here, let me show you this here. Now this well, boy, this was a great one right here. And he could have talked all about it and made it all sound really good, you know, and they'd have said, hey, that sounds good. Man, let's enjoy that again. Well, No, it's all clogged up now. I'm sorry, you know. Well, you got the water's in there, but you got to get to it. Amen. The well, the water was still good. It was still there, but Isaac had to work to get to it. Hallelujah. Oh, I know it'd be a whole lot better if we just had some kind of spiritual magic wand, you know, and we could wave it over that old blessing and all the trouble and all the dirt and all the clogged up stuff and all, it all just disappeared and all flow again. But it don't happen that way. Amen. God's blessings and God's power are definitely available. You believe that? They really are, but you and I are going to have to put forth effort to get it. Amen. Can God heal leprosy? He sure can. But he makes Naaman go out there and dip 7 times in the river, don't he? That's right. Amen. Can God turn one little small cruse of oil into a house full of vessels of oil to sell and get yourself out of debt? God can do that, but he's got to have some boys to go out there and bring all those vessels in. Is that right or not? If they go out and bring in 2 vessels, that's all the oil they get. But they bring them in and fill the house. They get oil in everyone, but they had to bring them in. Amen. When those kings went out to battle and all the water was gone, God from heaven could have just sent water down on all of them. They could have just stood there with their mouths open and let water run in. But God said, no, if you want water bad enough, get out there and dig some ditches. And when they got out there and dug the ditches, then God sent the water. Amen. When the woman had the issue of blood, amen, God could heal her. He had power to heal her. But she had to leave the house and go to where Jesus was and press through a crowd and get to him, didn't she? That's right. Amen. Think about the blind man. Jesus could have just said, you're healed, and let it all go. But he reached down and took dirt and spit in it, made clay, rubbed it in his eyes, and made him go all the way to the pool of Siloam and wash that clay out in order to be healed. And then there's 120 people who want the Holy Ghost. You know, all they needed to do is, I mean, you know, God can give the Holy Ghost to anybody he wants to, it's ready. They could have just said, okay, we're ready, Phyllis and Boomick, you know. But no, they all had to go tarry in the upper room. They were there for days. They had to stay there to receive the Holy Ghost. They had to tarry until they were endued with power from on high. So the bottom line is, God's blessings and power are available, but you and I are going to have to put forth some effort to get to it. Amen. Isaac and his servants actually had to get out there and take shovels in their hands and dig. They had to dig out the dirt and dig out the rocks and dig out the clay and clean it all out. And once they did the work, man, the water was there. And then let me say finally, we learned this lesson also that we must diligently maintain the wells of God's blessing too. See, when Abraham dug them out, they were great and they were fresh and they were used. But when Abraham was gone, and this length of time passes and nobody's there taking care of this well. And in the meantime, there are factors here that are affecting this well. There are sandstorms, you know, that blow and blow dirt and sand down in this well. And there are animals that come by, you know, and rocks get knocked in the well. And there's all this natural stuff happening. And then there are enemies, like the Philistines, who don't see any need to have that well. And they're afraid Abraham will come back and claim it. So they actually deliberately start stuffing junk in it. They didn't think the well was important. They weren't really interested. And so now you and I have to understand that this spiritual well that begins to flow when we pray and we seek God and we put our heart in it and our effort in it and we're digging and we're trying and we're praying and we're fasting and we're reaching and we're doing all we know to do, and God begins pouring out blessing in our life and in our home and in our church, and oh, how wonderful it is. But hey, I'll tell you what, life's circumstances and life's trials and the busyness of life and the difficulties of life and the distractions of life will blow stuff in that well. And then the devil, he's our enemy. He'll do everything he can to stop up your well of blessing. I mean, he will put every imaginable obstacle in the way. Amen. He'll even use other people to help stop up your well. Amen. They might even be some you thought were friends. Sometimes they're running your own family. Sometimes they're co-workers. Sometimes they're fellow students. You know, and they'll do everything they can, the comments they make, and they'll try to constantly have you involved in things that you know will stop up the blessing of God's well. We must maintain the well. Amen. God's blessings are available. Amen. Every generation has to get them for themselves. Amen. And we cannot rely on what we had in the past. Amen. We need it right now. And in order to get it, we're going to have to put effort out to get it. And then once God is moving in our life, we've got to maintain that experience and not let it get clogged up. It's sad to hear of a marriage that fails in 6 months or a year. It's really tragic to hear of one that fails after 30 years. You'd think after 30 years of marriage, a couple would have had differences worked out enough. But there's a lot of things happen in life. And if that relationship is not maintained, it can still go bad. And I tell you, it's sad when somebody comes to a church and prays and you see them a time or two and you don't ever see them again. That's sad. But I'll tell you what's a whole lot more tragic even than that is when there are people that know what it is to be saved. I mean, they know what it is to have the Holy Ghost, to speak in other tongues. They know what it is to be used by God. They know what it is to feel His anointing and His power and be a blessing even to others. And then they don't maintain their own experience. And the next thing you know, the things of life and the enemy that's among us all, he'll clog that well up and it will lose its effectiveness. God forbid. The wells of salvation are definitely still available. Amen. The wells of sanctification and holy living are still available. Amen. The wells of Holy Ghost power are still available. Amen. The wells of God's holy word are definitely still available. Amen. The wells of prayer and the wells of divine healing and the wells of victory, all of these great blessings of God are available. And all it's going to take is for you and I, amen, not to rely on what happened in the past. Amen. We need to get a hold of God right now. Hallelujah. We need to put forth whatever effort is necessary, amen, to have God's blessing flowing right now. And we need to maintain the experience that we do have and not lose it. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Every head bowed.